Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles Rickflower. We have another great show tonight dealing with metaphysics and spirituality. And tonight I thought we would talk about contact with the other side. The other side being, of course, those of us who have left and gone to live in another dimension of time and space. Some people refer to it, at least the next time and space from this one, as the astral world. So I thought we would talk a bit about that. I'll mention some of the other dimensions as well. But I think it's important to get to the understanding of how come we can't just have contact whenever we would like to have contact with this other dimension, which is every place around us, by the way. And as far as the people who live in the other side, they live some miles away from, in terms of distance from physical Earth, but not that far away. And so it is not that hard to understand that we could have contact with the other side, but then again, it may be difficult to understand why we, on a general basis, do not. So I think for the first thing, I will define or explain why the other side is so different from where we are. Because after all, it seems as though, I mean, people are still existing and living elsewhere. They're alive after death. For those of you who are not familiar with that concept, you haven't heard me speak about it before, but I have. And, or you haven't read about it, etc. But let me go through some basic elements here. If we think about our universe, it is not the etheric or electromagnetic physical universe that we observe with our telescopes, etc. The universe is far larger. As a matter of fact, we are in the basement. Welcome to the basement of our universe, and the dimensionality is very, very narrow, meaning that actually we have three dimensions that add up to exactly one. And most of you are familiar with the three that we are familiar with, which is length, width, and height. But beyond that, these three actually only exist in our limited perception history, and they have one vibration to them. And that one vibration is, we can call it, the time and space that denotes all of existence within the dimensionality of the three. So the time and space is actually one thing, but the dimensions appear to our eyes as three. It's really one, and one way to imagine this is that at the speed of light within our dimension, there is only one dimension. There's not three. So when you reach the speed of light, and this is, I'm not talking about metaphysics now, I'm talking about physics, okay? When you reach the speed of light, what we perceive as three dimensions becomes exactly one. And some people might ask, well, what happens if you go faster than the speed of light? Well, actually, it is possible to go faster than the speed of light, provided that you start off at a speed greater than the speed of light in the first place. But that's another story. Okay, to get to the speed of light would be very, very difficult, actually impossible, if you're in a three-dimensional element and trying to make yourself into one dimensions. It could be done. There's some fancy footwork in terms of trying to make it a reality. But for right now, you'd have to be in part of a black hole or some other kind of strange event. But the point is that at the speed of light, we do become one-dimensional, truly, in this dimension. Now let's talk about the next dimension. The next dimension actually has four dimensions or two true dimensions, depending upon how you want to believe it. At the speed of light in the next dimension, we actually become two-dimensional. Well, that's okay. But we still couldn't talk about it in terms of four dimensions. Now we have height and width, depth. Those are the same, if you're talking about the three. But then the fourth dimension is the speed and direction at which some thing, object, is moving. and that actually takes on another dimensional form to it. In other words, you can be in the same three dimensions of time and space, but let's say the container that you're in, which we'll call energy or form, is moving in a different direction than others are, and at a different speed than others are, you would be actually able to occupy the same three dimensions of space, but exist in a fourth dimensional element that would be different from, and actually not even visible to, those in three dimensions, because they wouldn't be able to see you. Oh, that's very important to remember, because we'll get into this later in the show. But it's so we add this other element of dimension. A lot of people say, well, didn't Einstein say that the fourth dimension is time? Well, he didn't exactly say that. But the point is that a lot of people believe that the fourth dimension is time. Actually, the fifth dimension is time. But that whole dimension doesn't exist until you go to a place called the monastic world, which is a dimension even greater than the astral, and I'm just trying to deal with the astral right now. So the astral is sort of in between the mental or monastic and the physical where we are. And there's actually those four dimensions that I just mentioned. You can say, well, where do these dimensions come from? Well, now we get to talk about something that I really like. Two things, actually. The first is God. I like God. And the second is a thing called various versions of string theory. Yeah, we're going to talk about both of those. You might say, well, what do they have to do with each other? And I'll tell you what they have to do with each other. It's called vibration. Vibration. Yeah. And that's what they have to do with each other. And the neat thing about it is there is some correlation. There is some actual correspondence and connection between the two. Wow. Now, one thing I want to mention, by the way, if you don't agree with me, or if you want to just pipe in and say something, you can do so on this show by calling 877-876-5227 in the U.S. And if you're in Canada, 888-815-9756. That's right. You can call in anytime you want. And if it's anything dealing with the general idea of metaphysics and spirituality, you want to talk about physics, that's okay, too. Anything that kind of broaches the subject, just give us a call. All right, let me continue on now. Okay, so vibration. Vibration started a long time ago, and this is my favorite part of talking about at least the God part, is that the universe was formed from, we can call it, seven parts of the vibration of our creator or God. And those seven vibrations actually add up to the seven syllables of its name, the creator's name, if you believe in things from a tradition called ageless wisdom or some other types of philosophies and we'll call them certain theological principles that go back in time. So the amazing thing about this is that this great being kind of thought of its own name. I guess it had to give itself its name, too, by the way. And the vibration of the seven syllables of that name created, effectively, the seven dimensions of time and space that presently exist in our universe. Now, some people think there are 10 dimensions, some think there are 11, but more and more, a lot of people are starting to come up with seven, mathematics-wise, in the physics world. And I don't want to get too complex into that and explain it in a way that would just bore people. But I think the better way of looking at it is this, that if you follow a thing called some of the new types of string theories, what they are saying is that there are seven vibrations that, in total, compose the universe, six of which is unseen to us and misunderstood or not understood at the present time, except by those of you who, of course, may read the books I've written or whatever. But I think the important thing is that it is not well understood in the traditional realms of science, and the seventh vibration, where we are, is the lowest in complexity and dimensionality, while the other dimensions are additively greater in dimensionality, and actually in terms of effect are exponentially greater in terms of how complex they are internally as parts of our universe, as dimensional parts of our universe. So this is what string theory claims. And the interesting thing is that if you go back to antiquity, before recorded history, and certainly since recorded history, the tenets of these different philosophies, which I will call ageless wisdom, have said basically the same thing. Isn't it amazing? I think that's so amazing because the stuff I'm telling you about string theory is only in the last 3 or 4 years. It's not a long time ago. Some of you said, well, I saw a program 10 years ago on string theory. It's called N-Theory, and it was just this guy named Green. And yeah, that's all true, except that the things I'm telling you that are most recent are the ones that most are supported by antiquity and the thoughts of those who had them from long ago. So it is amazing that our universe basically appears not just from a completely metaphysical viewpoint, but from a physics viewpoint, if you follow certain types of string theories, that there are seven dimensions that are huge of time and space that may have subdimensions to them, by the way, both in terms of string theory, but even more importantly, in metaphysics, this is true. There are actually seven subdimensions to every dimension. And a subdimension just means that the vibration of the higher dimensions resonates in a lower form within each of the lower, larger dimensions. So you have seven composited upon seven, or if you took it totally, it would be 49 total subdimensions of time and space within the entire universe. Wow, that's a big number, I guess. That's a lot of dimensions. You might say, well, how can we keep track of all those? Well, you don't have to. The good news is that even if you don't know all of the math and names or the metaphysics and explanations and metaphysical principles, it doesn't change the basic understanding that we are living in vibrational differences at the same time. And where we are conscious, the vibration grows and becomes dominant in a set of senses and body and energy that we exist in, more so than the dimensions where some of parts of us may not be as conscious or not conscious at all, and those parts stay quiescent. When we are in physical form, right, like right now, it is amazing because we are so dominated by the physical energy around us that we are only aware of truly the vibration, for the most part, we'll say, in our physical body. And that's it. We're not really aware that there is even a split in the physical dimension. There's actually an electromagnetic or etheric part of it. We're not even aware of that, much less that there's an astral part to us and a monastic part as well. And so that's at a minimum. Humans can actually have some slight parts that are beyond even the mental. But for the most part, humans just occupy, to some extent, those three dimensions of time and space. And so, where we are conscious, where our consciousness is focused, it becomes like almost a prison to us because we are dominated by sense from that dimension so strongly. The vibration from it kind of obliterates the subtle vibrations that we get from our astral senses and body, which exists in a different time and space around our physical body, and also our mental or monastic body and senses. Am I losing you? I hope not. I know it's a little complicated, but you stay with me on this because it is interesting. And it explains so much as we're going to go into this, why we can't just look around us, why we can't just, you know, why you can't make contact with grandma, whatever, and uncle, et cetera, because, who have passed on, because they are living in a more complex part of the universe, and their consciousness now is focused on a greater set of senses that responds to the higher vibration and change in time and space that comes from being dimensionally more complex. Also, by the way, considerably more responsive to spirit and closer to understanding, but not that close, their creator. Because every dimension that is greater in dimensionality from the slight one we're in right now is closer to the sound and to the vibration of our creator. So we can get a better understanding of that. And we can understand that creator in ourselves and in others better from a perspective where the senses we're using are more subtle but also more accurate, picking up those vibrations. Now we're all picking up good vibrations, you know. And so we're getting them from other sources right now, but we're not as aware of them because we're so fixed in our attention of the energy around us in the dense basement that we are living in. When you live in the basement, you tend to get a lot of dampness and heaviness, and it's very difficult to understand what's going on the floors above. Okay? So that's kind of what we're experiencing, sort of, as an example. All right? So, people are living in other dimensions. They are experiencing greater dimensionality. The speed at which everything exists is much, much faster. The speed of light is much faster. And consequently, the dimensionality is so much greater in perspective to where we are here that they enjoy a richer life, and something happens to time and space. And that is this. When you only have the three dimensions, or one if you want to look at it at the speed of light, that we enjoy in this dimension of time and space, we have very limited amounts of either. In other words, the space we live in is confined by the dimensionality. You limit the dimensions, you have less space. Okay, that kind of makes sense, I guess, as my example was at the beginning of the show. And then, if you're talking about time, time and space are interconnected, you see. If there's more space, there must be more time. That's the way it works. Think of it this way. If you can go more places and be more complex, there has to be more time in which to be in those places. And you've got to be able to enjoy the effects of both. And that's exactly what happens. Time becomes a thing called dilated. And as a result, the effects of gravity are lessened. Now, for many of you, that may be a little bit confusing, but the effects of gravity are lessened. And time grows immensely, so you live in more time. You have to say, you know, you could say that the same time here, there's a lot more time for the people living over on the other side. Yes, that would mean if you were able to observe us, which some of them can, that what they see are people that are very, very slowly moving. And consequently, they can become much wiser than us, in a sense, because they can observe what we're doing in a time that's dilated by anywhere from, well, it goes from 6 times to over 24 times, the amount of time that we're living in. So if it takes us a minute to go someplace, to do something, it could take them 24 minutes to see the result. But the interesting thing is that they also can make great better judgments and have a greater understanding and awareness of what's going on in our spectrum, because they have so much more time in which to observe and to think about it than we do. That makes them better at judgment about what is taking place here. That makes sense, right? Yes, of course it does. The other thing that's happening that's kind of interesting, I think, is that those on the other side, because they are living in this expanded period of time and space, have a much longer period of life than we do here. They live on an average of 30 to 50 years. Now, this can change. Some live a little bit longer, and a few live a lot shorter. But the more important thing is that if you average out, say it's 40 years, okay, and they're living at 24 times the time, you know, let's say 20 times, make it easy. That would mean that the equivalent in 40 years of time to them would be 800 years. That's a huge amount of time compared to what we live here. For many of us, it's hard for us to grasp that concept, that someone would live that long in another dimension. And they're still human. They're still existing in a reality in which they have interactions with other humans, and they are living a life that is even more complex and interesting than the one that they left. And many of you might say, well, that's a good thing, because 800 years might get kind of boring here. Yeah. Well, it could if you're not creative. And on the other side, people in general are more creative, but not everyone exercises that option, because we're all free to choose what to do and live as we choose to. And if you go to the other side and you want to just be a bump on the log, you can do that, but there will be a lot of bumps and a lot of logs in time before you're going to be leaving that place. And so it could get pretty boring, to say the least, among other things. Also, the senses tend to diminish rapidly when not being used to create enlightening things on the other side. And that can also be a very uncomfortable experience. But getting back to contact with the other side. So with these complexities, and I hope that I've given the gist of them right now, we can start to become appreciative of why it is so hard for those who are alive physically here to believe that life continues after what we call death, because it's hidden to most people in their senses as they live here that anything exists beyond this realm. And if you want to find evidence that something exists beyond this realm, you have to use the instruments of our own senses at the present time. Now, could that change? Yes. Is it possible for someone to invent an extra dimensionality gizmo that you plug yourself into, or it plugs into you, and instantly you can have some understanding, some experience, some direct contact with the other side? Is that possible? It is. I'm not recommending that at the present time we do that, because it actually happened. It happened before recorded history. It was one of the downfalls of the Atlantean. I know those odd people that supposedly lived in an island somewhere, but yeah. In the Atlantean times, they did have an instrument or two that would do that, but it wrought no good onto them, mostly because what they experienced was lower parts of the higher dimensions, and in so doing, they confused themselves of the motives and aspirations of the people who lived there, because they thought, oh, well, everybody's really with it over there, and they know what they're talking about. And actually, they didn't. They contacted those who were kind of lowering consciousness and made faulty assumptions about what the universe is like and what God was like. That can lead to some very negative results on the civilization. Hopefully, we will not find ourselves into that position in the near future. I don't think we're ready to plug ourselves in or be plugged with something that will allow us to do exactly what I said. I think we're some ways away from it. Why? Because if you look at science today, the science of today doesn't even believe that there's dimensionality much beyond where we exist in right now. Oh, yeah, I know there are those string theorists that I told you about in the last few years that are starting to come up with some interesting and closely aligned ideas to metaphysics. But they are not the accepted model in the realm of science or physics at the present time. they've got probably decades to go before they will be accepted. And then it would take even more time for anybody to come up with some method of, we'll say, creating technologically a means of enhancing our senses to be able to determine the other side. But the interesting thing is that we have the apparatus already in hand. All we have to do is to raise our consciousness so that the senses in our other bodies are working near the senses in our physical body. And once you do that, you can visit other dimensions of time and space. You can even operate and function in them. I've done it. So I'm speaking from experience. It can be done. Now, that doesn't mean you walk on water or you're some kind of great something or other. To do that does mean that you usually have to live a pretty good life and you have to be somewhat spiritually disciplined, but you don't have to be, you know, some kind of great anything to actually have an out-of-body experience and go to another dimension of time and space. It's easier if you live virtuously than if you don't. But it still could be done even by someone who isn't all that virtuous. So it's important to realize that. And then also, there's a part of our dimension called the electromagnetic part or the etheric part where people could have out-of-body experiences, but they'd still be seeing and experiencing some of the physical world while they were in electromagnetic energy, a sort of a double of their physical body in pure electromagnetic energy. But that's a different thing. Some people call that remote viewing, by the way. And it is not the same thing as truly visiting another dimension of time and space. So important to realize the differences there. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a lot more about how and what it means to have contact with others, what they are doing on the other side while we're kind of bumbling along here, how much contact do they have with us, how much do they really have influence, and a lot more about the subject of contact with the other side. So we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes from now.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Thank you.
We are back, and this is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Today we are talking, well, I'm talking, but you can call in if you like, about contact with the other side. And it's a fascinating area. Dimensionality seems to be a critical element. Time seems to be important, the whole thing. And understanding of our Creator becomes very important. And somewhat tied to what I was talking about with our engineer Seth tonight is also the question of what this is about. I call it the growth of our Creator, but others may find it in a different perspective. And so what's going on is we are experiencing really the dimensionality as well as the vibration of a being that we live within and that is also experiencing us at the same time. It's pretty interesting stuff. And it also means that there is a whole spectrum of growth way ahead of us beyond where humans tend to hang out, which is the three lowest parts of the seven-dimension universe. But it also means that we, as we pass through these three different levels of dimensionality, are moving back to becoming our soul. Our soul exists in the vibrational dimension that's in the higher monastic or mental dimension, and we as humans never get any higher than the lower part of that mental dimension. Remember those seven subparts I mentioned? Well, we never get above the fourth of the seven, going from the seven to the fourth from the bottom, we'll call it, of that dimension that is called monastic. Whereas the soul exists in the second part. So it's, you can see there's some differences there in the subdimensions. The very interesting part about that also is that as we move back towards becoming our soul, we actually start exhibiting more and more soul qualities because we're using the senses like a soul would, or somewhat like a soul would. And as we sense, we become aware, and it changes interrelatively with our consciousness, and we just literally are creating ourselves back into becoming, or into being our soul. That's exactly what it is. And it's sort of like a mini composite of what's happening with God. You see, that's what the whole universe is doing. It's like going back and recreating itself into this Creator at different stages of development of the Creator. And the same exact thing's happening with the soul, with every one of its incarnates. The incarnate is really almost a deceptive viewpoint. We still are a piece of the soul. But we're in limited dimensionality, limited time and space, limited vibration. So our senses, our awareness, and our consciousness is lowered to the point where we act and create in a much lower, lesser, sometimes negative way to the way the soul creates. But at the same time, we're doing something very special. We're creating a lower part of the universe that was not and has not been touched by the soul before. Our souls can't live here, or they become just like us. They'd be kind of squished in terms of their senses and very dimensionally, we'll say, deficient and time and space deficient, and would react not too indifferently from what we are, because we are the soul in a sense. And so that's why a sort of pilgrim, us, has to go on the journey and come back, because in its entirety, the soul couldn't exist here without great penalty and becoming all the negatives that a human being is. So it continues to exist in its own right, and we go back and rejoin it in consciousness, but it's doing its own thing. So that's another story for another time. But it does give us an interesting perspective on how the universe might function. Now, going back to the subject of contact with the other side. The other side, those who are in higher dimensionality, especially in the astral world, oftentimes observe those who they have closeness with And as long as their senses are strong enough, wherever they're alive in the astral world, they can get some feeling of what we're doing and some imaginative thoughts of what we're thinking. Now, this isn't a thought like mental thinking. It's more like pictures of our thoughts in our imagination. That's what they pick up. They don't pick up our mental thoughts because their mental senses are not any more refined necessarily than ours are right now, depending upon where they exist. Now, it's true, if they exist in the highest realms of the astral world, they actually have some enhanced mental senses, which is great. But for most of the people who live over there, they're pretty much fixed into how they feel, their astral senses, and their mental ones are really not much more developed than ours are here. And consequently, they don't pick up much of our mental thoughts. They pick up our astral thoughts, which is creative imagination. Okay, so they get pictures of stuff that we are picturing. And they also, from time to time, can observe to some extent actions we might be taking if they have been virtuous in similar actions while they were physically alive. And if they were, there's a fusion that takes place between the physical senses and their astral ones. And they actually can somewhat determine what we're doing in a physical sense if they lived a pretty virtuous existence. If they didn't, the good news is, if they were kind of the jerks and criminals and bad types of people, they know very little, if anything, about what we are actually doing here. They might pick up something on our creative imaginations, particularly if they are as negative as they are. Theirs are, you know, because they usually have pretty nasty creative imaginations. If they are similar, they can pick them up. But other than that, they kind of are blocked from us, which is good, because I don't want those really dark people over there on the other side if they, you know, are looking around for someone to look at or have some information about. I don't want them to have anything about me or anybody else that I care about. And so it is important that to me and to others, we recognize that contact with us is limited by consciousness. If someone's consciousness is completely, we'll say, separate from, different from, lower from those that they are trying to observe, have anything to do with from the other side, they're hopelessly going to be unable to do so. And that's good. We would like that. Now, what about the people who do have, like, possessions and crazy stuff go on from people on the other side? Well, that happens because their consciousness, the people here, they've lowered it to the point where they are very selfish, they may behave in unconscionable ways, in nasty ways, and this coincides with some of the lower element, we'll say, of people who live on the other side, and there's a connection made. That's how it works. Vibration. It's sort of like sympathetic or doesn't work at all. So if there's a sympathy in their vibration and a sympathy in their thoughts, then there's a connection. And then some negativity could flow through. For most of us, this isn't a concern. Now, what about the loved ones we have who are not necessarily living any kind of wretched life over on the other side? What concerns do they have? Well, they can connect with us in a number of ways. They can read our imaginative thoughts. They can even try to send us some kind of message, usually in creative thoughts or in dreams, that we can pick up in our astral body. It's easier for us to pick it up in dreams because then we're not focused much on our physical body and we can pick up more astral information. The problem is that when we do pick up something in dreams, we don't know whether we dreamt it or whether it came through for real. I'm sure you've had that experience. So that's the problem there. Now, what happens if they can get it through directly while we're completely conscious physically and not sleeping? Well, that's a great thing. It usually can only take place when our apparatus is tuned in to our astral senses very strongly. And that usually occurs when there is a, they'll say, a composite of natural occurrences between us and whoever is on the other side that is trying to have connection with us. And there is desire on both parts to be connected. Then it's easier, and some people actually get a feeling of the presence of someone else. Some people actually experience them as if they're right there in the room with them, because this projected image of the other person can be very vivid, and it appears as though they're standing right before you, but they're not. They actually could be quite far away in some respects. But the important thing here is the contact seems quite real, unlike a dream. And for most people who have ever experienced this, they would bet almost anything that it's real. They're not going to be usually convinced otherwise. Now, maybe some psychiatrists or others might try to say, well, you're really having a breakdown or this is your problem. But in reality, that's not true at all. It's just that the physics can be overcome between the two dimensions when there is enough desire, when there is enough commonality of imaginative thought, and when there is some level of consciousness that is similar between the person or persons involved. And I say persons because people on the other side may use a buddy system where they have several people helping to make contact with just one person here, because we wouldn't know about that. But their enhancement of their consciousness by working in a group situation allows them to have better consistent contact. What about those who have psychic senses? Well, interestingly, what's going on in that situation is oftentimes a person has a defective one or more physical senses, as well as an exaggeration in one or more of their astral senses that allows them to have this receiving vehicle for those on the other side who would like to have contact. And so they can do that. Some are better at it than others. Some do it for more virtuous reasons than others, and therefore have contact with higher consciousness people on the other side than those who don't have the right motives, and have mostly contact with the lower consciousness people who often say the wrong things and give wrong information even about what the life on the other side is like. That's an unfortunate problem. So the psychic, he himself or herself, may actually not be the best source for information about the other side, depending upon their consciousness. That's something we all have to be observant of. So it's not a question whether psychics exist. It's a question of how good they are in their existence to determine their value to those that they are giving any information to while they're practicing their psychic abilities. Interesting point. Okay. How is it, with all of this complexity in time and space, that people from the other side seem to be able to get through to us? Well, with great difficulty for the most part. It is not as easy as I'm making it sound, but at the same time, they can do it better with those who are more psychically inclined here than not, or with those who are they've had a connection with in the past, where their desires are similar, where their creative imagination is already well known to them, and where the possibility for creating some kind of enlightenment, at least in those who are physically alive, some benefit can be drawn. Then there's a greater possibility that in those cases, contact will be possible, especially if there's help coming from several others, a number of others, on the other side to make it happen, because more people are better in this kind of circumstance. It allows the connection and vibration to continue from those on the other side to those here, because so much concentration is needed that just one mind and one person may find it quite difficult to do. What about channeling? Well, channeling is an interesting thing. What channeling is where the person on the other side is actually using directly the senses, the physical senses of the person on this side, by entering into their astral nature and connecting from the astral senses into the physical to some extent. So they have gained a sense of what it's like to even be physically alive for a short period of time anyway. And they're basically speaking through or writing through or however the channeling is taking place. The other person that's alive here. Now, the we'll call it the benefit of this, to begin with, is that you're going to get some pretty strong conveyed information. The negative side of it is that every time this takes place, it diminishes the astral senses, particularly, of the person here, and replaces it to some extent with this astral sense of the person who's possessing or channeling the person. And at the same time, it may also adversely affect the physical senses, too. These are not good things, and so I don't recommend that people practice being, I'll call it possessed, or practice channeling, because it usually is being promoted by those on the other side who know better, but do it anyway, because they could do the more complex and difficult thing of just trying to have some, we'll call it, contact without taking over sense in a person, and be able to do so in a way that is beneficial without having any destructive element to it. Remember, the damage done is to the senses in the two bodies and eventually to the brains. You can expect that over time, if a person is channeled for a long period of time by one or more entities in another on the other side, or more people on the other side, the result will be potentially dementia. Am I kidding? Memory loss, severe memory loss, personality depreciation, and a sense or loss of sense in the astral and the etheric physical bodies. That is not good stuff. Okay, so I'm not a proponent of channeling, and I don't allow that to take place within me, and I wouldn't allow those that are close to me to, at least in any uninformed way, to be affected by it. It's important also to realize that it's not a negative thing to have contact with those on the other side. It's only negative if the contact is in the way that I just described, because in that way it has a lot of destructive elements to it, and the people who are participating in it from the other side know better, and therefore are actually taking advantage of, using, abusing those that they're doing it with, even though they may make it seem like to those that they're doing it with like it's a very special thing and they're very important. And they might even gain fame and fortune, but at a great cost. And so it's something to consider. All right, so then if contact is such a complex thing, then what, if any, are the advantages to us here, not to those on the other side, but to us here, in terms of having some kind of contact with those on the other side, either through dreams, as we talked about, or through some direct contact, use of psychics, etc.? What's the advantages? The very first, and probably the most important, is because so few people are going to, on a conscious level, practice having out-of-body experiences. It quells the fear of death, because as more and more people discover or verify the existence of life in another dimension beyond this one, their fear of death as quickly goes down, and they start looking at life in a bigger way, a broader way, with more propensity towards doing things that are virtuous and living virtuously. So I kind of like that as my first reason why there's some worthwhile nature to it. What about other factors? Well, there are some people that really need to have, one might say, a closure in their life from the loss which they perceive as a loss of the company of somebody who's close to them or has been close and has gone to the other side. And that closure sometimes is purely an emotional thing, which, by the way, is the way that people in the astral world, at least, are mostly communicating. So it kind of like remedies the situation. People, let's face it, die sometimes unexpectedly. And when they do, there is a lack of closure, particularly for those who are physically alive. They don't know where they went. They don't know if they went anywhere. The fear of death can become prominent and dominant. And so they question things. They may question the existence of God. They may question whether or not life is going to continue for them beyond this world, which seems relatively short for some. Okay, so in those situations, it is very helpful, especially if the person or, you know, the person who left is was in a critical time period with the individual who is here, and that critical time period had to do with creation of their relationship, formative aspects, sometimes there's a parent-child issue. So you get into these things that really are helpful if you can communicate in some fashion. That's why I like contact. I think it's a good thing, provided it doesn't involve some of the negative stuff I mentioned. And it can be very helpful if the psychic involved, if you have a third party, so to speak, standing in, is good at what they're doing by having lived a very virtuous life. Then it has particular meaning because some of the qualities of soul come out in both the person on the other side and on this side. The more qualities of soul come out, the more we start to see ourselves as souls and to live as souls. And that's a great thing. That's better than just getting over the fear of death. That's a kind of proactive way of existing ahead of time more as a spiritual being, like we might, if we choose to, live while we're in the next dimension of time and space. So by having this contact, we may emulate those that we have contact with to some extent and start living more as souls. Well, that's a good thing. I think that would be a great thing, actually, for a lot of people to do. Okay. And what's the last thing I want to mention is, because we're going to run out of time here, is that if you're into this kind of idea that, well, how can I go to the other dimension in time and space? The first thing to consider is your motive, because the motive is a critical element in determining where you're going to end up. If you go with wrong motive, and if you're living your life in a very selfish, self-focused way, your experiences in outer body, not to say you won't have them, might be extremely negative and create some very, we'll say, unrealistic and negative viewpoints of life after death, and having any contact with those who exist on the other side. Okay, we are out of time. Sometime I will talk more about this subject in the future. Just as I mentioned, on Sunday, August 3rd, I'm going to be talking about how to participate more in the plan for our planet. Listen in at 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For those of you who are in Boston, Norfolk, Providence, etc., on the East Coast, hey, tune in to 1170 AM. And if you're not there, you can still get me on WDISAM.com. Yeah. And also, lastly, I just want to mention that Mimi, one of the members of a spiritual group that I am a member of, is going to be talking about souls over at Glendale, Arizona on Monday, August 4th. That's this coming Monday from 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. There's no charge. Just come on by if you're in the Phoenix area. That's over in Glendale, outside of Phoenix. Okay, so that's about it for tonight. Next week we'll have a different subject. I hope you've enjoyed this one. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.